You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Open your Bibles with me to the book of Jeremiah. And I appreciate your faithfulness to God's house this evening. What a joy it is. This morning we looked at a message, the Christmas message. Tonight, for a few moments, I would like us to look ahead at the new year. There's always something very exciting about the start of a new year. There's an anticipation. There's a hope. There's goals. As Brother Flood mentioned, there's a New Year's resolution. Although he's a little bit young for that to be his resolution, I leaned over and I told him, I said, that's my resolution as well, but I have a whole decade on you. And so it's definitely more applicable to me. But I think as we look ahead, there's something exciting about what 2025 will bring. If we could, we could use the word, there is a certain hope about what is to come in 2025. And as we think about that, I'd like to draw our attention to really one simple thought. One thought that I'd like to leave with you this evening, that as you go into 2025, you would be reminded of the words of God from this passage. In Jeremiah chapter 17, we'll begin reading in verse number 5, and we'll read verse 5 through 9 this evening together. I'll read it if you could follow along with me. Jeremiah 17, beginning in verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert. He shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. As we look ahead at the year to come, I'd like to preach a short message this evening entitled Survive or Thrive in 2025. And can we bow our heads in prayer together this evening? Lord, I do pray now that you would please help me. God, help me to say only that which you'd have me to say. Help me to be able to get right to the point and to deliver the message that you have given to me in my life as a challenge for me, Lord. Lord, I pray that as a result, we may look to you, have confidence and trust and hope in you and you alone. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As we look back over the nation of Israel, and as we think about from the Old Testament and Genesis all the way up to the book of Jeremiah, I believe that we could see, I don't have to take too much time to explain, that the children of Israel were a blessed people. Beyond any other people group, any other nation, any other empire or country that has ever existed in the history of mankind, God blessed the children of Israel. That is, he called them out, he covenanted with them. He promised them, he delivered them from Egypt. He supernaturally provided and met their needs. He won battle after battle, victory after victory. He gave them exactly what they needed so they could flourish in the promised land. And here in Jeremiah, even after all that has happened, God raises up Jeremiah to go to the nation of Israel, to Judah, to tell them that judgment is coming. Not to bring a good message, but to bring a message of this is the reality of where you're at. Your nation is about to be judged. The Babylonian Empire is going to come and is going to conquer you. And sadly, as you study through the book of Jeremiah, you will find that the people rejected this message. They did not welcome it. They did not repent of their sins. In fact, they hated the messenger. They spoke out against Jeremiah. They beat Jeremiah. In fact, Jeremiah's own family left him and plotted to murder him and kill him. That's how much they hated the message that Jeremiah had to bring to them. The sad reality is that the nation of Israel did not turn back to God. And God, as he promised, not in 100 years or 200 years later, but within Jeremiah's lifetime, brought judgment upon the people of Israel. And if you would look with me in Jeremiah 17, verse 1, God is speaking. He says, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their hearts and upon the horns of their altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills, O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasure to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou even thyself shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever." What a harsh message that God had for the children of Israel. A people that he blessed, a people that he gave to, a people that met every single need, that he met every single need. Now, I don't know about you, but as I read the Word of God sometimes, I think about the children of Israel, and I want to almost just kind of reach my hand into the Bible and give them a slap across the face saying, "Don't you see it? Don't you realize what God has done for you? Don't you see how he's blessed you and he delivered you and he met your needs? And the fact that everything you have because of God, and now you're going to turn your back on him? What are you thinking?" But the reality is, isn't that what we do in life? God has been so good, hasn't he? He's saved our soul. He's delivered us from hell. He's blessed us. He's met our needs. And yet, when it's all going so well and we have so much prosperity and so much blessings, we wander and drift from God, don't we? Look what God had to say about that. Verse number 5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land and not inhabited." It's an amazing thing, this picture that God begins to paint. He says, when you take your trust, when you take your confidence, when you take your hope, your reliance, when you take that thing that you're dependent on, and when you move it away from God and you put it in man, man's wisdom, man's system, man's thoughts, man's ability, man's resources, man's strength. Amen. When you put it over there, you have a certain outcome that God is going to give you, and it's cursed. Meaning it's a place of judgment. It is the removal of the hand and the blessings of God on your life. And this is the picture that he gives you. He says it is like a heath in a parched land. What is that? It's a desert landscape. If you could think about maybe a time when you've been to the desert and you've looked out and you've seen the barren, desolate wasteland known as the desert. I know there are some people who find great beauty in the desert. Unfortunately, I'm not one of those people. I love the mountains. I love the ocean. I look at the desert and I think, man, they're missing out. They are missing out. But you know, you think of that shrub, that heath in a parched land. It's desolate. It has no resources. It has that constant heat that is always coming down on it, scorching it, making it miserable, making it hard. It doesn't have good soil. It's not growing and flourishing and producing fruit. It is literally holding on for existence. It's surviving. Barely surviving. That is the picture of your life and my life when we turn away from God and begin to put our trust in ourselves. When we begin to put the trust in mankind and man's ability and man's philosophy and anything that takes, the Bible says, our heart away from God and puts it in man. I have a strangely weird interest in survival. I enjoy reading books about people who have survived. I enjoy watching documentaries and shows. If you were ever once upon a time a student in my class, you have probably heard my unbelievable Bear Grylls accent. and you have learned how to get out alive, right? I love watching those shows. In fact, many years ago, Brother Sean Jackson and I, we took a Saturday survival course. It was an 8-hour course that we took, and we signed up for it. We paid the fee. It was up in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and in 8 hours, they were going to teach us everything we needed to know about survival, or so I thought. And it was pretty neat, I'm not going to lie. It was interesting. They taught us how to build a shelter using the resources that were there, and they taught us how to boil water and how to do different things with survival, set some different traps. My favorite thing, probably because I'm a little bit of a pyromaniac, was how to start a fire. Not like, here's a match and you light it and there's fire. It wasn't like that. It was basically building out a bow drill set, which is basically a bowed piece of wood that you tie a shoestring to. And then you have a piece of wood almost like a dowel, and you have a base and you have a handle. And you take that bow and you go back and forth, causing that spindle to turn on that base. And over time, it creates a wood dust, and it creates a friction and a heat. And eventually, it begins to create a tiny little ember that if you caress and you nurture and just the right amount of oxygen, you can eventually get a fire going. And I thought, how hard can this be? I've watched Bear Grylls just about every episode. On TV, it takes them like 20 seconds. It's probably going to take me a minute. It's going to be great. And so I went to town. And I'll tell you what, it was probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Because just about that time when you start getting momentum, it slips out of your hand. Or just about that time where you start getting momentum, it falls on the ground. And I'll never forget, 5 minutes went by, and 10 minutes went by, and 15 minutes went by, and 20 minutes went by. And finally, I was seeing the smoke come up, and I thought, okay, don't give up now. You're close. Keep going. And I kept going another 2 minutes until I was sure there has to be an ember in there. And as I took that bundle up and I began to bring it up to my face to gently blow in it and to nurture that fire, a bead of sweat gone. You know what I learned about survival that day? As cool as it looks on TV, I would never want to live that way. I never want to find myself in that scenario where I am doing everything humanly possible just to exist, just to get by, just to have enough sustenance to make it one more day. And yet that's the picture of your life and my life that God gives us when we take our hope, our confidence, our trust, and we turn away from God and put it in man. But look at the opposite. Look in verse number 7. Blessed is the man. What does that word blessed mean? It means to have divine favor. It means to have a state of well-being and provision. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and that shall not see when the heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Do you see the picture that God paints there? It is the complete opposite of a desert landscape. It is a flourishing, growing tree that's planted in a good soil by a river of water that flows and gives it nurture and vitamins and the essentials and protects it from the heat and protects it from the drought and allows that tree to grow and produce fruit. What is it? It is a picture of divine blessing. It is a picture of God's goodness and God's grace to those who put their trust, their confidence, their strength in Him. It's a picture of your life and my life when we do as God would have us to do and as we put our faith and trust in Him and believe in Him. My message is very simple this evening. As we approach 2025, where is your trust? In what are you hoping? And what is that thing or that person or that strength or that ability that you say, that's what I'm banking on in 2025 to give me a good year? It's that stock that I invested in. It's that Republican president that's going to make our nation great again. It's my bank account. It's my savings. It's my goals that I can do on my own. That's what's going to give me a good year. Unfortunately, according to God's word, it's not. According to God's word, it's going to put us in that position of surviving, just barely getting by. See, God's design and God's desire for us is to have faith and to walk by faith in Christ. That's his goal. That's his desire. That's what he wants. But so often we come to a point where we say, well, I believe God. I believe in God. I believe there is a God. Now, I'm not talking about a saving faith or a faith of salvation, but I'm talking about a practical living faith. Where is your faith tonight? Where is your hope? In what are you placing your trust in 2025? In the year 1859, there was a man by the name of Charles Blondin. He was world-renowned. He came from France. He was the world's best tightrope walker. Did some amazing things. People would come from all over to see him. And he was invited to come and to come to the United States of America. They advertised, they marketed, they put him in the newspaper. They said, come and see Charles Blondin walk across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. People came from all over. It was suspended 160 feet above the falls for 1,100 feet from the United States side to the Canadian side. And he stood there and the crowds gathered and he asked them, Do you believe that I can cross this tightrope? And they cheered, we believe. You can do it. And sure enough, he step by step walked across, made it from one side to the next. People cheered. The greatest thing, to watch this man walk the tightrope across Niagara Falls. About a week later, he summoned them all again in the newspaper, and this time he was going to do something a little bit more daring. He was going to put on a sort of a sack, if you will, and he was going to scurry across. And again, he asked the people, do you believe I can do it? And they said, oh, I believe. We saw you do it before. We believe you can do it. And sure enough, he scurried one way, scurried the other way. He did so again on a bicycle. He did so again on stilts. People left, and he called him back a few weeks later, and he said, I am going to take a wheelbarrow, and I am going to roll it across this tightrope. And they say some 25,000 people gathered to watch this. And he stood there on the United States side and he said, do you believe I can cross this tightrope with a wheelbarrow? And they said, we believe. We've seen you do it before. We believe you can do it. And sure enough, he did it. Went to the Canadian side and he said, do you believe I can do it? And they said, you can do it. And he came back across the United States side. He then came and said, all right, I have one more question. Do you believe that I can cross this again with a wheelbarrow? And they almost unanimously cheered out, we believe you can do it. He said, well, let me get one volunteer from the audience to come and sit in the wheelbarrow. And the crowd was silent. Not a single volunteer. Not a single person willing. No one. About 2 weeks later, he had his manager of marketing actually came and jumped on his back and rode his back, holding on his shoulders all the way across one way and the other. But isn't it an amazing thing? Those people, they saw him do it. They knew he can do it. Without a doubt, yes, you can go across that and come back. But when it came to them actually doing it, taking that step of faith, putting themselves on that line, all of a sudden, oof, I don't know about that. I'm not so sure anymore. And isn't that what we do sometimes in our Christian life? We read God's word and we know God can do it. We know he is able. We've seen him do it. We saw him do it time and time and time again. And yet in our lives, at a time where we should be putting our trust in God and saying, God, I believe. God, I know you can do it. God, my confidence, my hope, my trust, I'm relying and depending on you. What do we do? Well, you know, the area of finances, God, I'm going to take this one. I know you can do it, God. I know you can. but I'm going to figure out a way to meet my needs for my family. And God, I have this health struggle, and instead of bringing it to you and just trusting in you, God, I'm going to work it out on my own. And God, we have a Republican president, God. You know, we didn't have that before when things were really bad, but now we do. And so, God, I don't know. My hope for America is maybe over here right now. Can I say, child of God, North Valley Baptist Church family, we have to trust God. We must trust God. There is no other option because mankind will always fail us. But can I say that Jesus never fails? He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's always there for us. He always meets our need. He always comes through. My message is simple. 2025, can we trust God? Every situation, every day, every scenario, no matter what comes up in life, trust God. And I can promise you this, He will never fail us. He will never let us down. In those moments that we don't understand, it doesn't mean He's come short. It just means we need more trust. And it means we need more faith because His will and His way is perfect, and we can trust Him. In the year 1874, there was a woman by the name of Frances Ridley Havergal. She was traveling with her family through Europe and stopped by South Wales. And there in South Wales, she contracted this horrible disease known as typhoid fever. Almost immediately, it put her in the hospital, and almost on her deathbed, she was so close to dying. She wrote a song. She wrote the lyrics to a song. If you would open your songbooks with me to page 19. It's the song, Like a River Glorious. You see, if you look at Jeremiah 17, and if we were to take the time, and we won't, but if you were to compare it to Psalm 1, you find that God paints the same picture. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. As you think about what's the difference between this desert wasteland and this shrub and this thriving, growing, flourishing tree, what's the difference between these two pictures? It's a flowing river. That flowing river is God in your life and in my life. Every blessing that we have comes from Him. Every gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. The life, the health, the blessings we enjoy, it all comes from Him. Why then would we put our hope, our trust, our confidence in anything but Him? Brother Martinez, if you would, if we could this evening all stand, and I ask Brother Martinez to congregationally, if we could sing one stanza. And the chorus, I want us to hear the words because it says, stayed upon Jehovah. What does that mean? It means we're anchored to Him. We're rooted in Him. We're fastened to Him, that every day we're looking to Him as our hope, our trust, and our confidence. Brother Martinez, would you come, please?
Let's sing together on that first page 19, like a river glorious. Sing it out.
Father Galvan continues to play. The invitation is open this evening. If you'd like to come forward and pray, you may. If God has spoken to your heart, feel free to come forward and kneel and talk to Him.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.